Well, So let's jump right into it. How was everyone's weekend?
Wonderful. Are you going to say the introduction?
No, weren't we just going to
say? We're not going to do an introduction. Let's go right to market.
We're already filming.
Huh?
We're already filming.
I mean, it just adds into how cool Vienna is. We got the Halloween parade. They do something every other weekend, by the way. Yeah. We're driving through and we're like, how cool
always
is
something.
Vienna? So, a couple weekends ago, we had
the Oktoberfest,
which was awesome. And then the week after that, it was Halloween on the Green with all the kids. And then the Vienna Volunteer Fire Department was open. Let's talk about football
at Waterfield.
Football was going. So, I mean, the town is constantly doing things where you're like, damn, I'm tired. Can you guys calm down each weekend? So you live in Vienna.
Always something to do. Well, she lives in Persia, which is
cool.
There's
things to do out there.
Where's that
one that I want to go to? Like a Cox's, what's it called?
Great Country Farm.
Yeah, that one's fun.
Especially this time of year.
Breweries and wineries and pumpkin patches and hay rides and all sorts of stuff.
Sound a little more excited. And pumpkins.
It's perfect for fall time.
When you've been to the pumpkin patch with all the kids every year,
Kelly's like,
I'm kind of like, do we need to go to the pumpkin patch? Can we just go in and get the donuts and the cider and like cut all the other stuff? I'll buy you a pumpkin from Giant.
That's exactly what Colby. Yes. Colby's like, we'll take him to the pumpkin patch.
We'll get our pictures.
And then
we'll get our pictures
and then go get Giant pumpkins.
At Giant,
I'm like,
$5. I'm going to get a pumpkin this big.
I got my kids.
$7.
Yeah.
You want to buy that pumpkin at the pumpkin patch?
Yep.
It's like $45.
Thank
I'm not paying $45 for the pumpkin at the pumpkin patch.
She calls me cheap.
I mean, let's be real. We go in for the donuts, the picture, and that's it.
Yeah.
Don't you guys have hay rides?
Yeah, but you've been on one hay ride, you've been on them all.
Kelly, I would picture that to be the only ride you like. You don't like roller coasters, hay rides right up your alley. You're like, ooh, this is fun.
They do.
Going a little fast up there.
Are there seatbelts on this? Right. Can we get to the market?
All right, now we can get to the market. Go for it. Let's talk about
this. You read me something from somebody, some real thing.
It was Keeping Current Matters.
Right.
And it was saying something about the projected sales, of 2025.
Realtors will grab something and send it out to everybody. And that just shows me they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They send out national stats. Well, first of all, real estate has nothing to do with national stats. It's local. You know, you got to look by the county, by the town, and not only by the town, but there are certain sections of the town price ranges that have different markets. For example, like big homes went up 15% last year. Medium homes went up 1%, and small homes went up 14%. So which market are you talking about?
And then there's new construction.
Yeah. Well, but they say, well, how's the market? Well, which market are you talking about? And then the fact is that some markets are great for buyers and some markets are great for sellers. So if there's 10 homes and two are under contract, it's a buyer's market. Great market for a buyer. And if there's 8 homes on the market, it's a great market for the seller. So the question is, who are you talking about? Is it a great buyer's market or a seller's market? And which markets are you talking about? So let me just put this in perspective. Realtors are three things. Realtors are analysts. They have to analyze the market conditions, pricing, and all that. They're marketing. They have to prepare homes and market homes to get them to the biggest market possible. Mm-hmm. And then they need to negotiate. They're negotiators. So they're analysts, marketers, and negotiators. Those are three main jobs. And so they got to pick apart each one. That's the analyst side of it. But for somebody like that, if you're going to leave the analyzing of the market to national figures, what are you doing?
Well, that's what we see most of. Yeah. I mean, any realtor that you see on Instagram or whatnot, you just see them sharing articles from some big
national
news
source. I get that.
You analyze everything and everything that we kind of put out into the world.
Yeah.
You authenticate the data.
There you go.
Kelly, I have talked to you.
Kelly, where did you hear that? That's so weird.
You authenticate.
We're authenticating.
So if you're looking at market conditions, tell me about the inventory, the buyer pool, the area in which I'm selling, my buyer's market, my seller's market. You know, if the inventory is going up, and you know, you've got to analyze all of that, because if we're wrong, we lose money, our clients lose money. So, for example, you had a house, it was 1.7 somewhere between 1.75, 1.8. We tried 1.8, didn't work. Okay, so let's launch and go live at 1.75. Boom, 1.75. The next one, next weekend, we tried 1.75 and tested it. Wasn't there. Go to 1.7, boom, 1.7, right? So you've got to hit these on the just on the nut. You guys had one. We couldn't test it, could we?
Couldn't test it. Lower notes. Yeah.
We couldn't test it. Nope. So we had to, couldn't take a chance, couldn't try 1.8 and move back to 1.75.
Why couldn't you test it?
Because it was withdrawn. So they'd already been on the market. So we withdrew the house. We took it over.
Little cosmetic work.
Right, right. You guys prepared it nice. Yeah. To be honest with you, that was a house where you look at it and go, what's wrong with this house? The living room is dark.
Yep.
They had no lighting.
No recessed lighting. Dark paint.
Right. Yep. So we lightened up the paint, put in new lighting.
Front walk.
Put in a front walk because that looked not appropriate.
Yep.
So we get all this stuff ready and we launch it, but we couldn't test. We had to launch it at 1.75. Mm-hmm. And I said it could be 1.8 plus.
The safe number because...
Right.
Big buyer.
So we launched it at a safe number. That one, what did we finish up at?
1.83 closes on the 24th.
1.83. Yep. So if you're wrong or low, then they'll bid it up to where it should be.
Yeah.
You know, but they couldn't afford to have it sit on the market and sit on the market and sit on the market.
Couldn't make the same mistake.
And just that 50 grand, where if you would have put it on for 1.8, or we would have put it on for 1.8, and then, you know, no one came.
Right.
I mean, instead of you getting 80 grand above, we could have been in that spiral chasing the market now, knowing that we missed it and then going to have to drop to 1.75. Everyone sees that it's been on again now, and so it could just turn into a nightmare.
So let's roll back to the three things we have to be. We have to analyze, we have to market, and we have to negotiate. And I want to get to Kelly's negotiation last week, which is important. So on that one, we know the market's a little soft. We know it's worth 1.8, but the market is soft. So analyze and come in with the right price, which we did. You guys prepared it correctly, so it was really nice. Once we got everybody in, they wanted to buy it. And then negotiation was simple. It's like you got a bunch of contracts, start bidding, you know. Mm-hmm. Highest and best offer, no escalation clause, and boom, they popped it. Now
I've been seeing it a lot more that buyers and sellers are trying to shake you down for the commission. And you need to let them know that we're worth it because, you know, if you give every single person $8,000 to get the deal done, I mean, you know, it's just an expectation. I feel like if you do it one time.
Let me just be very clear. If you're dealing with a realtor that's willing to negotiate their own commission, how good of a negotiator are they? They're not going to be able to negotiate a contract for you on your behalf. You're hiring one that does three things: analyze, market, and negotiate. You're dealing with the negotiator. And if I'm such a bad negotiator, I'm willing to give up $5,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 a deal. Well, what kind of a negotiator am I? Mm-hmm. You're hiring a crummy negotiator. So, you know, there's a lot of money at stake. Now, let me just use the word this. Here's the word. The word is there's a standard. There's a standard you have to abide by. That is the highest and best standard in the industry. And unless you do that in analyzing, negotiating, and marketing, unless you're at that top standard that everybody wants to do what you do or be like you are, have the success you have, you know, we abide by a certain standard, and that's just the way it is, and it doesn't change. And 9 out of 10 people adhere to our standards. But when you have somebody that wants to break the standards, we have them.
Of course, all the time.
It's a people like some people will say, you're the professionals, we'll listen to you, do what you want to do. Then we can operate at a standard that we need to be. But when somebody thinks they're smarter, that 1 out of 10, and they start doing their own stuff, all hell breaks loose.
Yep.
And it's a disaster.
Every time.
We had two withdrawals out of probably 90 listings this year. Both of those people were smarter than we were, priced it wrong,
they
never got anything.
The price. They said, oh, no, my father-in-law says that this is it. And we're like, you're not even close. We listed two houses at the exact same time. They were each other's comps. One sold in 30 days. That first weekend, we settled in 30 days or less, I think. That one, the other one sat on the market for 6 months. And I think it's because some of the sellers, you know, you don't sell most of the time because you want to. So I think they sell because it's the money they need or the money that they want or think that they deserve. But the market doesn't care
what like
money you want.
My favorite line. I'm like, well, we like, need no this. Cares. And I'm like, well.
That doesn't matter what you need.
That doesn't, just because you put it on. Like, I need those Louboutins for $200.
And I will tell you this. That's the major problem with the billers of today, right? So over $2 million, under $3.5 million in Vienna, only 14% of all houses under contract. Now, you know, 95% of our houses go under contract when they're supposed to go under contract. So what the heck is the difference? It's builders look at it and go, in order for me to get my profit, mm-hmm. I need to sell for $2.5 million. Well, the house is worth $2.3 million. But we need $2.5 million. Well, then let it sit on the market for a year, have it go down, and then get your $2.3 million after you've lost $150,000 in carry costs. So the major problem, and let me tell you something about builders. Builders are tough guys. They negotiate with everything from carpenters to, they're tough guys, carpenters and concrete guys and flooring, all drywall. That's all they do is negotiate with these guys. But so when they deal with a realtor, they're like, all right, this is the way we're going to do it. And they think they can do it the same way. Well, they can't. They can't. I mean, Billy is working with Seekus, and Billy is like, no, and very firm, proving prices, proving what it is, and their house are selling like hotcakes. Now, if their house is selling like hotcakes now because they're priced right, and everybody else is at 14% under contract, then, you know, there's a huge disconnect in the new homes industry, you know? And I don't blame them. I mean, they're like, I gotta have 2.5. Dude, you're not gonna get it.
Yeah, it's cutting into their profit.
Yeah. It's 2.3.
Yeah.
And then he goes like this, he goes,
but that's not the buyer's problem. But it's, you know, I mean, they're only gonna pay, it's only worth what they're willing to pay.
Yeah. Right.
And so if they're not willing to pay that, then it's not worth it to begin with. So you might have put in extra money or you expect, you know, whatever your profit margin is, but it's just not.
But, you know, they look at it and go, it's not 2.5, it's 2.3. And they go, I can't lose $200,000. It's like you never had it in the first place.
Yeah, and this, you're not losing it. You're still
this
losing
is the value of the last 10 sales. Say that it's $2.3 million is not $2.5 million. So, you know, it's a little frustrating. That's why we don't do a lot of new homes. I mean, I don't want to argue with builders all the time about where you should price your house. Because you're overpricing it. At least sellers listen to us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they start off in the conversation again. Always let them make their own decision. We can do this or we can do that. Which way you think you want to go? Mm-hmm. And they'll always choose the correct way. Always. If you say, well, and the perfect example is we'll go in and we'll say, I don't know which one you use with me. When the guy goes, we're not painting this house. We're not going to paint this house. And as soon as we were done, we were like, no, we don't have to paint this house. We don't want to paint. And it's like, well, if you put in $7,000, you could make $100,000. But we don't have to do that. And he's like, well, wait a minute. Wait, what? What?
It's about how you frame it.
He's picking paint with Kelly by the time we walk out the door. And when we walked in that door, and let me tell you something. I have pet peeves. I'm old. I'm grumpy.
Definitely
just,
grumpy.
Am I grumpy?
Definitely grumpy.
I'm very grumpy. I'm going to tell you why.
Yes.
Because but I've Jamie seen it all laugh. And done it all, and I'm done, right? So we went into the house that we just sold.
Yeah.
They interviewed three or four other realtors before we came in. All the realtors said, you don't need to fix this house up. Now, it hadn't been painted in 25 years, and the carpet was 25 years old. Wasn't it?
Carpers,
and the kitchen was, everything was dated, everything was old.
I just don't get how someone can say that.
Like, all four of them.
Blows my mind.
And you know what? You would know two out of the four, big names. And I'm like, how can somebody walk into this house and tell you you don't need to put up, you know, $10,000 worth of paint to increase the value $75,000 to $100,000? To me, it's
too much work for them. They don't know what color to paint.
You're right.
They don't know what to do.
You're right. Gets the listing, keeps them happy.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. Thank God for you three. Because I'm of the, again, old and grumpy. I walk in there and go, ah, shit, let's sell it. It's fine. No problem. And you guys all keep going, it's not fun.
Well, you've learned now. Now you've learned. But when we first started trying to get you over, like, he would start being like, oh, this looks great. I'd be like, will you shut the hell up? It looks horrible.
Well, Kelly started one time. We walked out.
I'd never buy this.
We were in, like, some barn that was built in 1800s. And it was a barn in Oakton. And we walked out. And I was like, God, that was so cool. That was so cool. She goes, it had a purple wall. We're not going to sell a house with a purple wall. I'll never forget that, right? And so we had to go in and paint the whole damn house. And then
but
you guys.
Paint's cheap. And I know, think for a lot of people, when something's 25 years old, that's old. That's you should be updating your house every 5 years or so. So then when you are ready to sell, it's not pounding you in the face like, oh my gosh, well, we haven't done anything to this house. You know, I think a lot of people run into the fact they just live there. They don't upkeep it, and a lot of times life just gets in the way, and so it's deferred maintenance. And then when it comes down to it, you're like, oh, well, this needs to be fixed. It seems like a lot, but it's because you haven't done anything for.
But at the same time, with paint, like if you haven't painted your house in 20 years, and let's say other people have painted their house every 5 years, it could be the wrong color, and you're going to have to paint it again. So paint, if you have shitty paint now, just keep it if you don't care, and just call us before you list, and we'll tell you the right color to finally put on it. Because a lot of the times, what you're trying to get rid of, too, are scuff marks, are little wear and tear. You don't want the house to look lived in, because if I look at a house that I see, you know, little Johnny's crayons on it. I don't want to live in that house. I want to live in a new house.
Even if it is current colors and the paint can be all chipped and messed up all the time anyway.
And the smell of like a new painted house. Yeah. It just makes it feel new and bright.
Same with carpet.
Gives you that
same
feeling.
With carpet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I literally sat in there until I finally bought into what you guys were all talking about. I was sitting in those listing appointments, so I'm looking around going, oh, please don't say we're going to paint this damn house. Please, please, please. I'm saying that, I'm talking to the guy, and he's like, we just painted it. We're definitely painting the house. I'm like, oh, no, don't tell him that.
It's because we want to do everything right from the start for that, because guess who doesn't want to paint the house? Buyers, and who also won't come through the door if they see a house that looks like shit online. They're not going to come see the house.
Again, I think we should adopt the word, it's a standard. You have to work at a certain standard, and anything less is not going to work. This is just the standard, and we can't go below that. So if you want top dollar, multiple contracts, no home inspections, no nightmares, we've got to hit that standard that we should be on. And let me just say this. How much money, let's say a person lives in a house for 25 years, and I'm catching you guys off guard with this. How much money would you say they would have to spend on that house annually? How much money do you spend annually on your home to keep it in good, updated condition?
Depends on how big the house is.
I do a project every year, so I would say $5,000.
Whether it's the board and batten that I add, or I recently just changed out all the hardware.
Mm-hmm. We just replaced our carpet with hardwood floor. I mean, that was more than
But
Kelly's like, my chicken coop. You have to build a whole chicken coop.
I did. That was another 10 grand.
Every single one of them need their own bedroom.
I don't think you can count chicken coops. You can't
count. It's definitely an improvement.
It's not just Kelly. You can count it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking $5,000.
People love chicken coops out there.
So look at that house we just sold. They had not spent one nickel. Not on paint, not on anything in that house. So over 25 years, $5,000, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a ton of money, man. It's $125,000 they haven't spent on that house. Well, there you go. Now we got to spend $30,000 to at least bring it up to some standards that we can sell it at. But I think that every seller, and we don't talk about this at listing appointments, but I think we should just say that if you haven't invested an average of $5,000 a year to update your house with a kitchen every 15 years, the bathroom every 15 years, if you're not averaging $5,000 a year, then you're behind the ball. You're behind the
And buyers are going to feel it too. They're going to think like, well, if this hasn't been updated, then what else isn't updated?
Right.
Like what else is wrong, you know,
yeah.
that we're not seeing?
That's right. We just hit the cosmetics.
And some of the stuff is very easy. Like, I go through the bathrooms and I'll add new caulk if it's, like, cracking or peeling or new paint. Or, you know, I just make sure everything looks. I also get, you know, they need to make sure to power wash the outside once a year and have someone come wash your windows once a year.
Wash your car before people buy it, man.
Yeah.
Clean it up a little bit.
And could you, like... We see multiple before and after. We don't take enough pictures and we don't put them up enough, but they literally are mind blowing. All it was paint, hardwood, the little things.
And
that
the sellers
made, like,
always
huge...
say, "I wish I'd done that too." Now.
Every single seller says, "I wish I'd done that."
Every one of them.
Yeah. What does that do? List it or love it? Love it or list it?
I mean, did have one seller with the normal paint that we use every single time tell me that it was offensive. And
we had one. We had one person. Kind of hurt her head. Oh, this is awful. Now, her house was scheduled to sell for $1 million. She hated it. She hated everything we did.
She hated
it. And we sold it for $115,000. And I'm like, I know you hated it, but it made you $150,000.
Well, the funny thing is, she was moving into a different community where they like one of the retirement communities. Yeah. So you buy a condo, and then they fix it up before you move in. So the paint that they do, you don't get to pick out the paint. You can do it after you move in, but they give you a blank slate to move in. The lighting fixtures and the paint were the exact same paint and lighting fixtures that I put in her house that she hated. Because that's what's in. That is the blank slate that we're trying to create for people.
Yeah.
It's the classic gray or the Revere pewter.
And if they want to come in and do some vibrant color, they can. But we don't want to choose it for them because...
No one likes yellow.
That's
the
color of her house. Yellow and red.
Or like the red skin colors. Billy and I went into one house... And it was just a guy. And by the way, guys should never be left alone without a woman. Just a guy, right? So the guy painted his house red skin colors. And he goes, you give me one red skin fan walks into this house and this thing is sold. And I took my laptop and I closed it and said, dude, you better find a wife and walk out. Because he's out of control. He wanted a premium price because he painted red skin colors. But if we could make $100,000 on a $10,000 investment, we might want to think about it.
Well, the other thing, too, is that we can just defer payment.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody has to come out of pocket for this stuff.
So yeah.
Well,
why wouldn't we do it?
Yeah.
That's the best thing about it. It's like you're not even paying for it. It's literally just going to come out of the profit that you're going to make
free money
from getting this done.
But the thing about it, Cole, that not everybody's set up for that. First of all, let me make everything clear. Again, Mr. Grumpy Pants. Mr. Grumpy Pants coming back out.
Mr. Grumpy Pants, let's go.
The reason why realtors tell you not to fix up their house is because they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it.
It's a lot of work.
They don't give a shit.
It is a lot.
I don't like to play general contractor.
No.
You hate it. You hate it.
Everybody
hates it. Guys are always bitching about having to deal with all this. But that's the standard that houses need to be at. I may be grumpy because I may, or maybe I've just seen too much. I've seen realtors rip off sellers by not fixing up their house and getting them to a standard where they get top dollar. And yes, over time you get grumpy.
Well, it's funny because you're grumpy, but like if sellers are looking at it from a realtor's perspective, we have to sometimes be like, what he means to say is, because you'll get mad. We'll go to these conferences or whatnot, and all they're talking about is how to get more leads, how to use open houses to get more leads, and I can see your head, and I'm like, calm down, take a breath, take a sip of water, because he's like, why aren't we talking about how to price right?
They don't
market
care.
Strategy, do this, how do we sell the house? They're not talking about how to sell the house. So you get so mad because you like to do it right for our clients. We all like to do it right. They like to worry
get
about how they're going to get more leads.
I'm just telling you, they don't care about how to price houses. They don't care about how to fix up houses. They don't care how to negotiate contracts.
When we saw that ad for those girls being like, look, I'm going to price the house. Done. I thought his head was going to fucking blow off. Can you believe this shit?
They got a commercial where the girl goes, oh, I'll price the house. Done. What?
I heard about it for a jet. Oh, it was so funny.
I got it. I don't know. I got to calm down.
Keep your blood pressure.
But we do. We go to conferences. We want to learn something. Somebody teach me something. What's a better way to price or better way to negotiate, a better way to market? Teach me something. You know how you get leads, more leads? You get H-I-I-A-P or whatever it is.
H-I-A-I?
AI. And you get more leads. And that. This ain't marketing an AI to get more leads. All that so much. Does anybody know how to sell a house? Anybody. Anybody in the room, please. So the real estate educational industry is moving towards how do I get more leads, not how do I sell a freaking house. They couldn't price. Oh, jeez.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's,
this is where it gets a little cut.
I tell you, of course I'm grumpy. Mm. You would be grumpy too. Well, the neighbors are like that. The neighbors are all... They go to their neighbors. They're worse than the father-in-law, by the way.
Yeah.
The neighbors are wanting you to pump the price up. I think you should get 1-2-3, 1-2-5. They don't analyze the market. They don't know price per square foot. They don't know percentage of assessment. They don't know whether the market's going up or down or inventory or buyer pool. They don't know shit. But they're going to tell you you need to overprice your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And that, again, they get bid up with no... Real estate is a very, see, the problem is, it's just like coaching football, and Justin knows this. You are cursed and blessed because you've seen it before and you know how the movie's going to end. I've already seen this. When you do that, I know how it's going to end. And when you do this, I know how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do poorly and you go below the standards, you're just going to wish like hell you never did that. So I've already seen the
damage. That's why
damage
you're grumpy, though. It's not grumpy. You just know. And they're like, well, why don't we do this? It's like, oh, Jesus.
Listen, I'm trying. I'm trying not to be grumpy. I swear to God, I'm such a nice guy.
He's like, well, why don't I just go walk into traffic? Is that what you
30 years ago, I was a sweetheart. I was funny. I made people laugh all the time.
And then he had me and Kelly as daughters. That was the first problem.
So it stems back right around 30-some years?
Yeah. It's like it was 38 years ago.
I could
really
track down my
to...
happiness.
Yeah.
Where did my joy go? Oh, you two. When did you show up?
I don't know. She's older than me.
Right around 80 years.
I was a happy, friendly guy. And all hell broke loose. Jesus yeah. Christmas.
Love it.
But anyways, I'm just saying. I'm grumpy for a reason because the curse is... You've seen the failures, and you know how this is going to end. And when people do that, you get angry because it's like, I know you're walking into a trap, you mm-hmm. know? And yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's time for me to get the hell out of here. Maybe so. Well, first of all,
yet.
The coolest thing, for those of you that haven't been to Vienna, the Vienna Parade, Halloween Parade,
it's
is
awesome.
By far the best thing going in town.
I know. We yeah. have to... Every year.
But are we?
Because I don't know yet.
I'm Morticia.
Oh.
Adam's family.
Yep.
Carol okay. wanted me to be Lurch.
Yeah. You should be. The
yeah.
It's
so you will be dressing up this year.
I would put on a cowboy hat for anything, anytime with my cowboy
yeah,
boots.
That wasn't even him dressing
I wouldn't
up.
I dress
he
up.
Just,
I just
came home from Montana.
I got an opportunity to wear my cowboy boots.
It wasn't even a holiday.
No.
He's just done some traveling.
I don't need Halloween for that. I'll put that
He's
sucker on.
He's just waiting to wear his cowboy boots, his cowboy. I don't know.
But I think Lurch is
imagine that. Imagine that, you know, you're the loving father of a family that goes, well, Lurch would be perfect for you. I'm like,
well,
oh, God.
Or wait, is it Herman Munster? He's kind of happy.
He's happy.
Kinda, he's happy.
That's
he's
a,
very
that's
happy.
A nice compromise.
You know?
Herman, and he does
he's
have the wolf on the side.
Yeah.
So I've already got the stiff neck for it.
Actually, that's
so,
perfect. You should.
Yeah.
You got to be green,
oh,
though.
Put some bolts on
yeah.
and then get bigger forehead. Oh, that's great. So my choices are Lurch and Frankenstein. That's
no,
a great time.
People dress up. Some people do. Some people don't. But there's a ton. I mean, it's a long parade. It goes
it's
on.
Like,
it's
yeah,
huge.
It's like an hour and a half.
So
it's a long
and we don't
an
like
hour.
To see people.
It.
You can either find
kids
me as Lurch or as Herman Munster, one or the other.
You'll be right. I get it.
So we need to go to that new Japanese restaurant in Taizé. You haven't been there yet?
No.
You've heard about it, right?
Hey, guess what? There was something that just happened, like
a birthday?
Oh, yeah.
There you
that,
go. That's
maybe
what I can do.
We could go
yeah.
to the Japanese
okay, I'll take
restaurant.
A Japanese
well, is it a,
restaurant.
Is it a Japanese steakhouse? Or, like, do you sit around the table or you just
no,
sit?
It's like a
speakeasy.
It's a speakeasy, yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked cool.
You have to go through the steam room in the gym. That's how you get there.
What?
There's a door in the back of the steam room. Yeah.
In the gym. So wait. Like, wouldn't that like mess up your makeup and stuff? Going in there? Like,
I don't think you have to turn it on. But that's where you go.
It's a motif.
You don't have to have the steam
kit. You don't go in the steam room.
I immediately was like, well, then what would happen if I go
like that? Her hair's blowing, and she's like, make sure there's a camera when I come out the store.
Yeah, right. You'd be like sweaty and be like, I'll have the pot stickers, please.
Yeah. Let's do that for your birthday. Let's go to the Japanese restaurant. Yep. There you go, speakeasy.
Let's go. Through the steam room.
Where do you go? Through a steam room?
Steam room. Back door there. And you go right in. You don't have to have the steam room. The back door in the steam room.
All right.
Cut.
I think this thing is going up for
Cody's birthday.
I never realized you girls had minds like that. Think of that stuff.
What do you mean that we have minds like that? You're our dad. You don't remind me of the refrigerator joke. I'm not going to say
Cody,
it.
Or not, why did I say Cody? Probably
because
I'm always yelling.
You're like,
at
where'd
Cody.
You? Why are you like the way you are? I'm like, I don't know. Why am I the
Mom,
way that I am?
I swear to God, though. I'll go, Morgan is obsessed with it. Driving me crazy. She's your daughter. Mm-hmm. Exactly. She's exactly
your
daughter.
So you were talking shit about her?
Hey, I'm sensitive about people talking shit about me,
too. It's so funny.
I tell Mom, Morgan
is really
crazy.
Pissing me off. Turns out, I piss Mom off, too. So we're alike. I'm like, let's rewind. She just says.
All right, I got a roll.
It was fun.
I got to take Jamie to the hospital.
Jamie needs to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Kelly, how many of you those have you had?
Holy shit. All right,
see you
in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Goodbye.
That'll work. You can cut.
Jeez. Cut leave the old man on the cutting room floor. Holy shit.
All right, let's move the waters to the... I'll take one.
You're not going to get it in that hand.
Oh my God, what happened?
Jamie, oh my God.
God.
Look at
like
can someone zoom in on this, though? Get that on camera. Look at.
He's allergic to bees.
Oh my God.
Turns out he is allergic to bees.
Oh my God,
it's
crazy.
Oh.
It's like I have a latex.
You went to the Renaissance Festival and got stung by a bee yesterday.
He's oh my God, you need to go to like the doctor.
You need to get Benadryl.
Yes, that
you need
is
to take
not...
Benadryl.
That's not normal?
No.
Jamie, it looks like your hands.
Yes.
Go to the doctor.
Oh my God,
take
you
Benadryl
have
first.
To go. You're
has
like
it gotten
allergic.
Better?
It's been 24 hours.
Holy shit, that's so bad.
That's nasty.
My friend had that happen. It kept getting worse and worse, and turns out she's allergic. Now she has to carry an EpiPen with her. Go to the doctor.
What?
Yes. Go to the doctor.
I mean, you're
once
definitely
you
allergic.
Your,
I mean,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah,
good.
Jamie,
you
should.
Yeah. You should. That's a great one for the stranger. Perfect. Yeah. Can't feel a thing. All
right. We're like, you should go to the doctor, but maybe in like 15 after we're done.
Yeah, probably. As soon as we're done, as soon as you've
then
edited
you can go to the doctor.
Version, then go to the doctor. Our editor just lost the left hand.
That's definitely
it's
going to
take twice as long, though.